My name is Duncan A. MacDonald. I was born March 4th, 1913.
Okay, and in which village here?
Judick,
okay.
And they give you address.
And what's your address here? The actual postal address, if we wanted to write to you.
Box 11, Judick.
Box 11, Judick, okay. Now, could you just tell us a bit about when you were growing up, what the dances were like? Where would you dance and what would you dance?
Well, when I started going to dances, they danced what they call square sets.
Yes.
You know? And there's only four couples to a set, you know. And they had a violin player there, and they wouldn't dance unless somebody prompted the sets, you know. And, they danced four figures to the set then.
At that time?
Yeah.
So when did this change? When did they stop having a prompter and stopped having four figures?
Oh, when they started dances in those big halls, you know. This was dances in schoolhouses and in houses that
yes.
I used to go to, you know. And all those dances, you know, there was no amplifiers or nothing, just fiddlers, two fiddlers playing together, you know. And the prompter, and they danced maybe 1, 2 o'clock in the morning before they finished. But once they started in the big halls, you know, they started gathering up and there'd be about 25 couples in the set, and they only danced about, you know, they don't dance it right at all.
No.
There's no prompter or nothing. I wanted a few of them, but I didn't like them as well as the old thing.
Right.
When did that start, though, in halls? Like, about what year would that be?
Well, it's after the 30s that the hall started, the hall in Judick here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about...
But even then, when they started in the hall first, they used to dance four couples to a set. But they had, in the hall so big, they used to have about maybe 12, 14, 16 sets going at one time.
Right. And the prompters were there still?
Yeah, prompters were there too.
Right.
And they got up to a piano then with the violin players.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And when do you think this started to stop there, the calling on a regular
basis?
Oh,
the calling stopped in the... around the 50s, I think.
Around the 50s?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, was the caller before, when you had this in schoolhouses and things, was this caller in the set or was he on the stage?
He wouldn't even have to be in the set. He'd be either standing up somewhere, you know.
So outside.
A lot of times, there was a caller alongside of where I was born there, Angus Hugh McKechnie.
Uh-huh.
He was very good at it, too, and he used to dance pretty near all the sets, you know, he'd be in the set.
Oh, yeah.
But it made it a lot better when the caller was in the set.
Was in it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that was like that.
There was nobody going wrong.
Right.
You know?
Right. And that was like that at the beginning when you started dancing? The caller was in the set.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when did that stop? Like, when did it come so that he'd be on this with the musicians?
On the stage calling?
Oh, on the stage, in the halls, you know.
Oh, so when you went to the halls, that's
yeah,
when
the
caller
called,
started being
on
the stage? On
the stage, yeah.
Okay.
But when there was no caller, they just... started the music and they danced without the caller.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But at the old time dances, you know, in the schoolhouses and at houses, they used to have box parties, you know.
Oh,
and
what was that about?
After they danced a few sets, they called for a Scotch Four.
Oh.
Well, there used to be people there, you know, older people, four couples, the two men, two women got on the floor and danced a Scotch Four and they looked proud and...
Huh. What was that? What was that exactly? We never saw a Scotch Four
or a box party.
A Scotch Four,
yeah.
It's just for four people go to dance together, two men and two women.
Uh huh.
But what would the dance be like? Like
they just went around, you know. They say you were there and I was here,
yes.
And the other two,
yes.
And the girls said they went around first,
in a circle.
You know, in a circle.
Yeah.
And then the girls faced one another and the men faced one another and then dancing. And after they danced a part of the tune, they went around again, you know.
Yeah.
And then when the fast turn came on the tune, the men went back to back.
Oh.
And stepped her off like a sort of...
Oh.
Oh, it was nice to see,
I bet
you know.
It was. Does anyone still do that today?
Huh?
Does anyone still do the Scotch Four today?
Yeah, once in a while, you know.
Where could we see it?
Well, I don't know right now. I don't know right now. You could get it going at any dance,
yes.
If you just
ask
you know,
people.
Ask people who they go and dance the for.
Uh-huh.
But they had another old dance too that I danced.
Yeah.
They call it the eight-hand reel.
Oh.
Eight-hand reel. It was all one figure, you know.
Oh.
It started off with the girls, ladies to the right with the lady on the lead, and the gents to the left with the gent take the lead, going around like that, and it did. There was a prompter to that too, you know, but I danced it with the older people up where my mother came from.
Oh, from yeah.
And I got it going here too. We had it going at concerts, you know. Even went down, we went to Broadcove one time and danced that eight-hand reel in Broadcove, yeah.
Do you think you could get it?
Alan Graham was one of the ones who was in it too, yeah.
Go ahead. Do you think that?
And Alan J. McDonald over here and myself. I forget who the other, the fourth fellow was. Was it actually Johnny Rowell or? No, sure.
And would you think that you'd be able to put it together again?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
They're pretty well, all the ones that danced that eight-hand reel, all the girls and all the men could step dance, you know.
Yes, right.
It made it quite lively.
I bet.
Huh. Now, I just want to, the Scotch Four there, I want to make sure I understand correctly. Now, they started in, they went around in a circle.
Yeah.
And the first time you said the two women were facing each other.
Yeah.
And they step danced?
Both the men and
women. Women.
Right, but the two women were facing each other
yeah.
and the two men were facing
yeah.
each other. Okay, and then they went around in a circle
yeah.
again.
Yeah.
And then a man and a woman was facing each other
yeah.
and the couple
yeah.
was together.
Yeah.
And then they went around in a circle again
yeah.
and then the two women would be facing
each
other.
Well, the turn came on the two of the Scotch Four is a reel first, you know, and then they come to the fast part, you know.
Oh, it's jig first.
Strats first, and then the reel
right.
after that.
Okay.
When the reel came, the two men turned back to back, you know.
Right, so they'd be back to back like this,
yeah.
and their partners would be facing them.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to
and
make
they
sure.
They stepped
we have...
off then until
right.
they got
till
tired.
Until the end. Until
well,
they got tired.
Played out to quit.
And what about these box parties? What were they like?
Something the same. They all danced sets, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, when they come to around 10 o'clock, everything stopped, you know. And they had an auctioneer there. He started auctioning off the boxes, you know. The girls had their names on the boxes, you know. You wouldn't know whose box you were bidding on until after you bought it, you know. Then you went looking for the lady and sat someplace and had tea. And a lot of times the ladies used to have a package of cigarettes. You could buy them for 10 cents
yeah.
then in the thing for the man.
Oh, I see.
And a lot of times maybe he took her home after they ate what was in the...
The box. It sounded like it was fun, these
oh, yeah.
box parties.
Yeah, sure was. Yeah.
And what about the church picnics now? Have you been to those?
Oh, yeah.
What were they like?
Oh, the church picnics, you know, they have them going here in Zurich pretty well every year, for years. But it was a lot of hard work then for the women
yeah.
and everybody. Everybody went there, you know, two or three days before, building stages. No, not getting paid for it either.
Right.
And getting everything ready, and the women done the cooking.
Food.
And they bought an animal for somebody and butchered it and spread it all over the place, getting the roast made. And they always put up a good dinner there. You could buy it for 50 cents.
Yeah.
You could get into the picnic for a quarter.
Uh-huh.
Pop was five to 10 cents a
yeah.
bottle. And they danced, you know, so the sets on stage, just, you know, you paid to 10 cents a set, you know, bought tickets, you know.
Oh.
Man came around and collected the tickets before they started the set.
Did the women pay too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, everybody?
No, just
10
the men,
cents a couple.
Just the men.
Huh. And did they do the Scotch Four and the eight-handed reel at those picnics, or just
they'd
the...
They'd done lots of Scotch Fours there, you know. There'd be a lot of people from different places come in and want to show how good
yeah.
they were to dance.
Yeah.
Did they have, like, a separate stage for
no,
the Scotch Four?
No,
no, one stage,
yeah, stage,
and everything happened there. How many sets could be on a stage?
On a stage, there'd be about eight sets at one
yeah.
time.
Yeah,
eight sets.
Yeah.
They just put a good floor in it, and the rest was all a seat around, and a few boards on top of that, put alders on it to keep
the sun
kind of cool, you know.
When was the last picnic around here?
Oh, God. When was the St. Angel one?
I think so.
What
September
year?
67.
67? Yeah.
So that was the last picnic.
What did you say, the centennial?
Oh, centennial.
It was up at Centennial, you know.
Oh, it was up at
1967.
Right.
That was the home and school put that
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
For my school picture.
Okay. And what about weddings now? What were they like? When you were growing up?
Oh, the weddings used to be at the houses.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what would happen?
They'd just be big feed on and dancing. And what the hell,
again, it would be the sets and the occasional Scotch fork.
Oh, yeah, the sets and the Scotch fork.
So the
Do you know what the wedding reel was?
Huh?
The wedding reel.
What was that?
They had a dance called the wedding reel. We heard. We saw it on a record too, on Angus Beaton's record. It was called the wedding reel.
Do you know what that is? No.
No.
Well, I suppose I heard it for the last reel.
Yeah. But these eight-handed reels now. Do you think you could tell us right now what was happening figure-wise? You said the ladies led off to the right one time, and then the gents led off to the left the other. What else happened?
Yeah, they swung around then, you know, when they come
to meet each other. Yeah.
And then they went over the left, you know, though you put your left hand to your left hand and made the
grand chain, but starting with the left hand?
Yeah, till you meet your girl again, then they promenade back to the places.
Yes.
And then they step dance to beat the band after that.
Okay, would it be in a circle they'd step dance?
Yeah. And then all the girls went in the centre and joined hands like this, and they went around, and they step danced, and the men went around on the outside step dance.
Oh.
And then the girls came out, and the men went in.
Ah.
And then it's the right hand of your partner after that, all the way around.
So a grand chain with the right hand this time.
Yeah, and step dance again.
The whole time.
That's about the whole thing.
Well, that's good.
You know, when we went to Alex Graham's house, he showed us a picture of the stages for the dancing at a picnic.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever, do you have any pictures of things like that? No.
No.
Okay.
No. Do you know anyone who might have pictures like that from the picnics or the weddings
dancing
from the 20s and 30s?
Oh, God, no.
No.
People don't think you're sailing anything.
No,
like that.
It's a shame. So when was the first time you danced the eight-handed reel? Could you tell us about that?
Oh, God, I'll be 14, I'm 73 now.
Uh-huh.
59 years
and
ago.
And so what was this story about going to the Cayley at the McLean's?
McClellan's?
I was up
to my mother's people in Reverdini Mountain.
Yes.
And we went on a Cayley down to this John McClellan's, whatever. And there was music there anyway, and they decided to dance the eight-hand reel.
Mm-hmm.
And they got me to go in with them. That's how I remember. I don't know how good I remember it all, but I remembered it from that. Yeah.
And where did you learn how to step dance?
Huh?
Where did you learn how to step dance?
I learned it by myself.
Did your parents?
Of course, in the bar. My father was a step dancer.
Your father was a step dancer.
Yeah. Well, he'd be half brother to this Angus the Carpenter, Johnny the Carpenter, and those fellas.
And they were step dancers too?
Oh, yes, everyone.
Did you ever hear anybody jigging tunes?
You know, with their mouth when a fiddle wasn't there? Diddle, diddle, diddle.
Oh, quite, yes. My sister, Rachel Grandco, used to have a kazoo when she'd play it. She'd go all out with them tunes. She knew them all.
Aww. Yeah.
Is she around?
Huh?
Is she still alive?
Grandco Mills.
Is she still there?
Yeah.
Rachel. Aww.
Yeah.
Rachel.
But I don't know what she's doing now. Yeah.
Is she older or younger than you?
Younger, two years younger.
2 years younger. So her name is Rachel.
And what's her mate? Is she married?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Hughie McDonald.
McDonald's?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Because we're trying to find people who could jig a tune for us. Hey, thank you. That's great. Yes.
Everybody, that's the way you learn tunes first, you know.
You jig them.
Jig them, yeah.
Huh.
I remember when I started playing the fiddle, you know, I used to go to dances. I'd wake up in the morning, if I'd hear a tune, it'd be right in my head, and I'd have to get up and take the fiddle and play it.
Oh, so you play the fiddle too?
Yeah.
Oh,
I quit long ago.
Did you play?
I used to play at dances all night.
Go away.
I played at box parties, you know, dances. That's
how long are you going to be around?
We're
going to
be.
Anything about song, dances, like a song, not jigging tunes, but a song that would have a dance with it in Gaelic? No.
This is a box party. There'd be elderly people there, you know, they'd always had a few drinks around and they'd get feeling pretty good. They'd go in the bedroom.
Yeah.
All join hands and sing away the songs, the Gaelic songs.
Oh,
you know.
Okay.
Yeah. But there was never like a dance that went with the songs, is that it?
The songs were
in one room.
By themselves, you know.
Okay. And the dancing was in another.
Dancing went by itself. Too.
Okay.
These are the names of the people that did the 800 reel with Duncan A. MacDonald.
Myself.
Yeah.
And Donald Roddy MacDonald.
Uh-huh.
Alan J. MacDonald, he's dead.
Uh-huh.
And Archie MacDonald, he'd be first cousin I'd lose to him.
Okay, so those were the four men.
I did the reel in Sydney.
In Sydney,
and
you
in
did
Broad
it once.
Cove.
And in Broad Cove. And could you just go through it again, like, because they didn't do it all, right? So could you tell me just bit by bit what they should be doing?
What they left out?
No, from the very beginning. Start from the very beginning and go right to the end.
Oh, no, they did all right.
All right, but just so that we have it in words, and then we're going to write it all up. Okay, so they started in a circle, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and they went to the left halfway and then
back to the right.
Back to the
right, yeah.
Okay, and then what did they do?
Step dance.
Step dance before swinging their partner?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then right hand to your partner.
Right hand your partner.
And swing your partner when you get back.
Swing your partner when you get back, okay.
And then ladies.
Ladies in the center holding hands.
Yeah. Halfway around. And go around in a circle and gents go the opposite way.
Okay.
And they come back to the place and swing around.
Swing, you mean swing their partner?
Yeah. And step dance. And right hand to your partner again.
Okay.
And then the men go up.
Yes.
Do the same thing.
Yes.
And back to the places, and right hand to your partner, and swing again, and you still step dance all the time.
Okay.
Then the next one after that, the right hand of your partner is once and a half on the heads, once and a half on the sides, and you swing your left hand lady till you get to the last one, until you get back to your partner.
Yes, you do each lady.
Each lady till you get to your own. That's doing it four times, twice each side.
Okay, so you'd be doing this half promenade across, and then with your lady, your left hand lady.
You swing your left hand lady, and then you'll have right hand to your partner, and you make sure you're just... When you get to your one, you have the left-hand lady, that you get back to your places and swing again.
Again.
Then once and a half.
Okay, and you do this each time with a different partner until you got back home.
Till you're back home with your lady.
And then how would you end it?
End it up, with up all up in the center, drive around the step.
Drive around the step dancing. Okay, good.
Hugh MacDonald, born June the 18th, 1914.
In Inverness,
yeah.
Okay, so you were talking about the plain sets. Could you explain that to us a bit?
Well, yeah, today they got the dance all like Saratoga Lancers, they call them. One time you had the plain sets. Now, in the plain sets, people kept time instead of like you see today, the running and too many in a set and all this. Well, at that time, you kept time to the music, you know, the beat of the music. And when you started away your first set, first part of the set was, you had a head couple and a side couple. And the first man would go across to the head man, the head woman, and then the head man would take his partner through the center, the other two would come out like this. Then going back, the other two would go through the center and the others would come out.
Now, when they go through the center, okay, so it's like the first head couple would go through the second head couple?
Yeah, something like the Saratoga one, they do it on the corner. Well, this way they dump on the side.
Ah, okay, so in the Saratoga, they do it on the corner, and in the
plain
they did
set,
it with the opposite couple.
The opposite couple, right across.
And when they'd return, would they return coming backwards, or would they face...
No, they just... through the center and turn around and come back.
Okay, so they'd come back
and then
facing
they'd line
through.
Up. And then you swing, you know, you'd swing with your partner.
Okay.
And today, this very little swing, and it's all, you know, like
round
dancing. Like. And then they do the same
with the side couples.
Yeah, with the side couples. And then the next one was, you'd the man, head man, head woman would go cross over. They call it. You just went over and went over like this a little piece, came back, and then you formed a line on the side, and then you would swing with your corner partner, the woman on the other side.
So the gentleman would cross over to the second couple?
And the man, just one.
One.
Yeah.
And then he'd come back?
He'd come back, and then they'd form a line, like four here and four here.
Oh, four?
Yeah.
Four people would form a line?
Form the line then.
Okay.
Then you'd done that to the four, you know.
Each side would have his turn, each man, and you turn your corner.
Yeah. And then they used to have another one. They used to all join, and then they'd lead the ladies in the center. Gents march to the right, back to the left, and swing your partner.
Now, the ladies in the center, would they be moving, or
would
they just be still?
They'd go around also.
Would they be holding hands,
or they form a star?
They'd just hold hands,
like a little star?
Like this, and the other two would be like this.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, like a star.
And then they had the first fast figure, they called it, dance to a reel, you know.
Right.
It's like ran right and left. Now the Saratoga was a little bit like that.
Okay.
Only you'd go grand right and left, halfway, some had it halfway, and wheel about, and come back grand right and left. When you meet your partner, you'd swing. And then there was the other cases where they'd go grand right and left and, you know, swing right there and then promenade. Or grand right
so they'd
left.
Meet you halfway,
yeah,
swing
and
then
promenade back
the rest
to your
of
place.
The way.
Then you'd form a line on the side or the head, you know.
You'd form a line immediately, would you?
Yeah, in your own, just in your own set.
Set.
You weren't going up and down the hall.
The way they do in the Saratoga Lancers.
Yeah, and then the last one is, they had many figures. They had as high as eight figures. But the last one then, grand right and left all the way. And then you'd all...
Forward and back.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Back and forth. Yeah. Forward and back.
Like a circle.
Yeah.
The
and then you...
Hands up in the center.
Yeah. And then you'd swing with your own part.
Uh-huh.
And then when you do this four times, grand right and left, and promenade when you meet, you know, and then... you'd go up the center, everybody holding hands, and then you left your partner and
you
danced with the corner,
okay.
And you promenaded around with her, then you done the same thing again, and then you took the next one to all the way till you come back to your own
to
partner.
To your own partner, and that would be the last figure. So those four figures would be the plain set.
Plain set, they called it, yeah. That used to be danced many years ago. I'd say in the late 20s and in the 30s, they started getting away from the early 30s.
And starting
now,
the
I might be wrong
answers.
On those dates, but it seemed like in the early 30s, they started getting more into the way they dance today, the Saratoga. But they still wouldn't let no more than
four couples
in the set.
So,
and it was nice, you know.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, as you remember the Saratoga Lancers, what were the figures? With the four couples.
Well, it's just like they're doing today, you know, through the center and outside returning, and then to the left, the right, and the left, and, you know, just pretty much like
that.
What
they danced the other night before
the
dance started.
Yeah, like they were, like the other night, they were keeping time pretty good to the music. But the music is played, it used to be played a little slower. In the old times, you know, there's a lot of the music's a lot faster today.
Mm-hmm.
I find, you know.
Yeah.
With this plain lancers now, is there anyone? Do they prompt this?
Oh God! Yeah, you always had a prompter.
Yeah.
You never had a dance without a prompter.
Is there a
today.
Prompter around that would know? This
oh,
plain
there
lancers?
Should be. Yes.
Like
there was one fella prompt. For years, he's staying up in the Heritage House in Port Hood.
Sandy
McNeil. Did you ever see
we
him?
We spoke
him,
with him.
Yeah.
Did he tell you?
He called for us. We'll have to listen to the calls again.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, but we didn't have dancers there. He called them just, you know, with music.
I wonder if he called a plane set. Maybe it was the Saratoga.
We'll have to see which one
he
called.
Yeah. Now, there was another fella down here. He used to prompt Mosey Cody.
Oh? Yeah. Where does he live?
Still alive?
He lives right next to the Seaview Inn when you're going down the hill, going down the corner.
Okay, towards the corner there.
Now, I don't know if you get a hold of him or not. You could.
Try.
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
Mosey Cody. He used to prompt when he was young.
That'd be nice.
There's so darn many of them that, you know, died that used to be.
Now, how old would you say this man is, Mosey?
Mosey?
Yeah.
He's 75. And there was a very good friend of mine. He was a kind of, he almost sang this fella's picture there.
And who's that now?
He died in Detroit. He's a Huey Jim Paul McDougall. He's a very good prompter. Oh, you had a lot of them. You had fellas that would almost sing the, you know, and kept time with the music and everything. You had other ones. There was a McDonald fella, and he was from Hawkesbury, but he'd be prompting and step dancing at the same time. But he's gone. You know, most of those fellas are gone.
What a shame, yeah.
And he used to, when he landed in Toronto, you know, you could have even have a poor violin player with him, and he could make it lively, you know. He'd be step dancing and kind of humming along with it and calling the sets and lots of action to him, you know. So he picked the beat up, like. You get a good prompter, you know, it means a lot. It used to be, well, one time wouldn't be a dance without a prompter. Like, we used to have square sets up here on the 1st and 2nd of July and on the 12th of July and on Labor Day. We used to have about what they call picnics.
The church picnics?
Right above here.
Yeah.
And we used to have two stages for square dancing. Probably you'd have 12 sets on each one going at the same time. Right. You had another stage over on the side for step dancing. You had,
did they do Scotch Fours on that stage?
Yeah,
what
step dancing.
What was that like, a Scotch Four?
Oh, well, a Scotch Four used to be two men, two women.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And, you know, they always had good dancers, like. And then
do you remember
had,
what they did exactly?
Oh, yeah, they danced like you're my partner, you know. Well, okay, you and I danced facing one another. The other couple were the other way.
No. Face behind us?
Yeah, generally, the two men were back to back.
So in a line.
Yeah. And then they promenaded around or
in
paraded around and came back and then went
into the line formation again.
Yeah.
Were you always dancing with your partner?
Oh, yeah, you had the same partner, yeah. Oh. You danced with, like I danced with you and she danced with the fellas at Lake Angus or, you know, wherever it would be.
Uh-huh.
And there used to be some awful dancers.
Instructors.
See, another thing about the dancing was, years ago, the dancing, they called it close to the floor. Now, in order for you to keep time to the music, now, you got to be close to the floor.
Right.
Years ago, when they had no pianos or no guitars or anything, now, the fellow would be playing the fiddle, and he'd be
keeping time with his foot.
Yeah, and then he'd be watching your feet.
Oh.
But if you were going astray and doing queer things, you know,
he'd lose his
put
timing.
Him off his beat, yeah. So the old timers used to watch, it was, you know, vice versa to the dancer, kept time to what he was playing. And he also kept an eye on the dancer. Now, if either one went wrong, it kind of put the...
Right.
But there was a man years ago. There's a lot of good dancers. In fact, my father danced, and he played the violin, but he never played outside of home. No.
Okay.
And he was, you know, a sweet player. But I had a grand uncle, and he was a very good player years ago. He was one of the main ones playing by note. He was an old-timer, John McDonald. He died in 1934, but he was quite a violin player, and he You know, at that time, there wasn't that many playing by note. And he always had old music books he got from all over Scotland and everywhere, you know. And when he died, someone went into the place and took the...
Oh, God, that's terrible.
He had music that... he'd play tunes that nobody heard, you know. And then when they'd learn them, he'd put a couple of more out. But he always had tunes that, you know, the average guy didn't have. Mm-hmm. Well, it was just... He never took credit for composing.
No, but he...
But he was just books that he had and that nobody else had them. Like today, you know, pretty near everybody's got those books.
Mm-hmm.
So there's quite a difference today. But years ago, like the dancers, there was a big fella from down Gillisdale, down southwest Margree. I think his name was either Simon or John Gillis. Now, this man was way over 200 pounds. And like they used to say, he was so light on the floor that he could dance on eggs. And, you know, this is what they used to say about him. But, he was a wonderful dancer and beautiful time. And, you know, today there's an awful lot of twisting and their ankles going and this. And the old way, they just dance. And they used to, another thing too, playing for picnics. And like today they have concerts and that, playing for picnics years ago. All the violin players tried to have something different that the rest weren't playing. You know, even one tune, and they'd work on this and have it good before the picnic. And then they had something different, like, to go on. And there used to be a lot of competition with them, you know. Though they wouldn't be saying anything. You get one fella, you get three or four of them in the house, you're going to get good music, because they're all trying their best, yeah. And but the old timers, like we used to have some of them come to the house, like when my grand uncle Johnny used to come. And he always had something, you know, and some of them used to come and listen and pick up the odd new tune, you know. But you'd get probably five or six of them in one night, you know. They'd be having a little toddy, you know, and talking and music and step dancing and playing the violin. But you had some, you know, there were some very good violin players in the day. It's like Sandy McLean, and there was Malcolm Beaton, and there was Danny Cameron, I suppose you heard of all those, and Angus Chisholm, of course, and Angus Allen Gillis, and oh my God, there was, you know, so many of them. Like today, you got Buddy and all those fellas, you know. And there was Denar McDonald, he was the great composer, be John Allen Cameron's uncle. I knew Denar well, he and I worked for Ford's in Windsor. We used to go to parties together, he was a great composer. You'd go over, sometimes he'd be laying down with his eyes closed and his fingers going. Then he'd get up and take the violin, and he'd play a new tune for you. Oh, my God, just like you know, like you were reading it off something. Oh, he composed. Then you had a fella down in North Sydney now, Johnny Wilmot. He played a lot of Irish music. Now, Johnny has got trouble with his breathing today. But, oh, my God, he could play for hours. I saw us make three tapes in one afternoon, on a hot afternoon. Him and Dougie McPhee that plays the piano.
Yeah.
But Johnny was a real Iron Man, you know, it'd be like Buddy McMaster.
Yeah.
But he played with kind of an Irish twang to it, like, you know.
Okay.
And this come from his uncle, who was a good player, and he played Irish mostly, you know. Johnny Wilmot now, His father was, I think, Irish descent. I think his mother was French. But John, he was a tough man. He composed a tune for me.
Oh?
Yeah.
Did he name it your name?
Huey Shorty's, yeah. It's in one of the magazines or something.
Oh. in one of the Kipper
magazines.
Yeah.
Will you shut that off for a minute?
Yeah.
Composed Gordon Quigley's jig.
Because
and it is a dandy, yeah. It was a real dandy. Beautiful. You done a good job. Yeah, Mike McDougall tape of Father Hector. I got that somewhere. But, yeah, it's not in this one.
Oh, well, we'll
but
we'll
I got it somewhere. But maybe you have.
Yeah, we have.
You probably met him.
We haven't met him yet, but we've heard about
him. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, he's out near River Denny's there.
Yeah, yeah. He used to be a terrific player, but you know, he doesn't play anymore. He had an operation on his hand for arthritis.
Oh, and he can't play. Him.
And he was a dandy Strath Bay player. Very, very good. And Joe McLean, of course, him and Lamy had records. And then there was a Johnny McLean, Johnny Washabout. Now, he played, and he was a good, lively player, but he was a great step dancer. He was neat, stand straight, and he was slim, you know, and the feet was all that was moving on, you know, there was no hands going.
Right.
And they were having a housewarming for him a couple of years ago. He just moved home from Toronto a while ago. And he was playing the violin, sitting on the piano bench, and he dropped dead.
Oh, my dear.
He wasn't old, like in the 50s or something.
Yeah.
Playing the violin, what he wanted to do, you know. Now, he'd be a cousin. You might have heard tell of Joe McLean.
Yes, I think,
now,
yeah.
He's a cousin of his. They come, Washabuck. They call this fella Johnny Washabuck.
Washabucks.
Yeah. There was a lot of them fellas up there, you know. Quite a few of them that played in that. But, there was, and then, of course, Big Donald McClellan and Teresa and their father, old Ranald McClellan. There's lots of music in all those people. Then you had that Lila McIsaac, piano player, and Jesse Maggie McClellan. And, Lila used to, well, she died here just this year in Boston. She was well in her 80s, I guess. But lots of music. You had those people here, you know, at one time.
Right.
Most of them were here. Like Lila stayed a mile and a half out of town. Sandy McLean was the same way, you know.
They were all in this area.
Yeah, they were all in this area. You had a lot of... Then you had an awful lot of relatives of my own, Smiths.
Oh, the Smiths.
They were all violin players.
Oh,
there was probably out of five brothers, there was four of them played the violin. And there was a Ronald Kennedy, who was left-hander. Now, he's got a son, Joe, that probably could give you an awful lot of information.
Oh, where does
he stays in about a mile and a half out of town here.
Okay, heading
his
towards.
Phone number would be in the... And then he's... he had a brother, Donald. There was Mary McDonald. She lived in Waterford. She was from Abba. You might have heard of her.
Yeah.
She had a daughter, Mary Jessie.
But
Mary played, you know, slow and lots of power. Like, she played the old Scotch music, just like the fella said, you could taste the Gaelic of it, you know, or buttermilk flying off the strings or something. But she was a beautiful player. And then there was a fella here one time, Danny Beaton. Oh, my God, a person had to tape him. There was an old Dan Beaton, but then there was this other Danny Beaton, we called him. Oh, he was, he was a good dance player and everything. He was a great player, but no tapes,
no
nothing.
Tapes of him, what a shame.
And, it was just unfortunate. Like, they'd be some of the Beatons, like Donald Angus and Joe Beaton, and, relatives of theirs, you know. And then there was a Duncan Macquarie. He was from Glenora Falls out there, but he lived in New Waterford for years. Duncan Macquarie, Mary McDonald, and Jack McNeil from Mabo, and Lochie Marr from Brook Village. They were all violin players, step dancers, and you could have an awful lot of, good times.
I bet.
This year, Mary McDonald's daughter, Mary Jessie, probably she'd be one of the best in the whole lot. Like when she used to play the piano with Angus Chisholm, like, and some of them. And she was like, she put runs and things into the music, you know, that, Dougie McPhee said at one time, and he's a good piano player, he said that Angus Chisholm and Mary Jessie McDonald were like peaches and cream. You know, one yeah. complimented the other. Like, yeah. But, oh, she was real good, yeah. There was a lot, you know, there was quite a few of them at that time. You know, there was a lot of players. You had no TV or anything, you know. And you went to a house and 7 or 8 or 10 or 12 got together and all of a sudden someone was playing the violin, someone was dancing and, you know, you made your own times, you know.
And when you'd be dancing, would it be sets or would it be...
Oh, sets, yeah. We used to have what they call quarter dances here.
Oh, what were they like?
In the old houses, you know, like we call them the company house. Well, all right, you had a room bigger than this, a front room, and you'd go in there and they'd be dancing and have a few shots, and sometimes you'd have probably 40 or 50 people in the house. You could only dance one set at a time, like, and they used to double them up sometimes, you know. Like double on the head, double on the side.
Yeah, so what was that like?
Yeah. How did it's the same thing as the plain set, but you doubled up. You had two
heads
instead
and
two heads, two sides.
So
yeah.
instead of having
double
four
on
couples,
the heads and double
have,
on the sides.
You'd have eight couples
dancing.
Yeah,
yeah. So that was so the like, only difference.
But like if you're doing a grand
I'd go
chain
through.
With
yeah.
Doing
oh yeah, the
whole
works. Works.
Whole
yeah,
group.
Yeah. But when you go across. See, instead of the single one, the two guys would go across to the two head ladies and turn
and
come back,
four
you know.
Hands around
yeah,
like.
And then you'd line up. Yeah, used to be a lot of fun to it.
I bet.
That's where I started to dance was, you know, like going to dances. My first set was in one of those, like we used to call them kitchen rackets.
Yeah.
You'd have a violin player sitting in a corner somewhere, and you know, there was nothing but the violin at the time, you know. But a lot of the times they'd have two violin players, you know. And that made it so much better. But, they worked hard. No sound system, no nothing.
So when do you think they stopped doing this eight couples in the set?
Oh, well, that just, you know, they used to just have that when they'd, you know, have a kitchen racket, you know. If you had a bigger space where you could get more people dancing, they wouldn't do that, see.
Right.
They just used to do that when you'd have a little kitchen racket.
Right.
Also or you could even have six couples in.
So
you
they
know,
had four
the
or
head
six
couples
or
would
couples.
Be single and the side couples
be
would be double. Yeah.
But this would have only happened in a house party.
Oh, yeah,
not
yeah.
Not in a hall?
No. No, you didn't need this in a hall.
Because you had more space.
Yeah. The idea was to get more people dancing, you know. Yeah.
So why do you think they went from this change from the plain lancers to the Saratoga?
Well, they figured that they figured there was a little more life to the...
Saratoga lancers?
Yeah.
Because everybody was dancing at once.
Yeah, and they figured that, yes, everybody moved together too. And with the plain set, there was just the...
Head couples
the head couple and
the
side couple stood there.
Right. Or not doing anything.
Well, now with the Saratoga, everybody goes.
So where do you think these dances came from?
Oh, God. That's the thing I couldn't tell you. I'd imagine probably for around here, it might have been from Scotland.
But then when the Saratoga came in, like, where do you think that came from?
Because that would have been in the 30s.
I wouldn't know. There's a possibility that this come from down the States somewhere.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Now I'm not too sure,
right.
But I know the plane said I think came with the people.
Uh-huh.
I know one of the things when they were landing, one of the first things was your violin and your wood to make violins and that. And on one side of my people, they landed down in Broad Cove in 1804. And those violin players right away passed right along, you know. Yeah. So they brought the music with them.
Right. They brought the music. Like, what about, have you ever danced the eight-handed reels?
Yeah, they had those, yeah.
Do you remember ever dancing those?
No, not too much. Uh-huh. I didn't know. I was just, the sets was mostly what I danced, uh-huh. Yeah.
Did you ever see your parents dance those?
Oh, I saw
Can
them,
you
yeah.
Anything
yeah, about? Yeah. They used to have like a whole bunch of them, like step dancing, yeah. And they danced step dancing to reels, you know. But really, the step dancing today, now most of them, they don't do much dancing to a strass-pé. They go right at the reel in a hurry, you know, and it's fast.
Right.
Well, one time they used to dance, and they danced their steps out. Now, there was an old, like this Joe Kennedy, if you were ever talking to him, right. His father. And then another person, it was a Dr. Kennedy from Manwood, taught this. And they were very good dancers. Now, they could dance for quite a while to a strass-pé, you know, which was slower, and you had to keep time to
right.
to the music before they turn on to a reel. You see them going for reels so much faster,
yes.
quicker today. Mm-hmm. The younger people seem to want to get, you know, get going faster and faster, and I don't know. Sometimes you wonder about, you know, what's happening. Maybe we're going to lose the strass-pé dancers down the road. You know? They seem to be getting less of that and more of the real dance. Yeah. Well, one time it was beautiful to see watch some of them dance into a strass-pé, and they dance and dance, you know, all the steps and everything before they turn onto the reel and go faster, you know. So, yeah, there was quite a difference with the dancing today. Now, in order to have a good dance, you'd have to have a floor director, a prompter, you know.
Why
have,
do you think
have
they've
four
been lost?
To a set.
Why do you think this tradition of
well,
a floor prompter
well,
and four
it's
have been lost?
Like anything else, they probably had a couple of dances and no prompter, and the fellow said, to heck, but I won't need one, you know. He wouldn't need to pay the extra money, or maybe not, but I'd say that's part of
possibly
it.
Possibly that could be it.
Because it's so much nicer with someone, especially that Peter McKay out there, he'd raise the...
Yeah.
roof off if you put more than four in a set. We talked to him.
Yeah, we filmed him calling at Scottsville the other night.
But he'd get real wild. He'd stop the music and everything if they put more than four. Mm-hmm. Well, you can see what happens. See, you've taken Glenn Cole. There's nobody calling or anything. They all have a hell of a time and everything, but there's too many into it. You're on top of one another. There's no room to dance or anything, you know? So, and they're just there. They don't care what the hell happens. They're not listening to nothing.
They just want to have a good time.
Yeah. A lot of the young ones, you probably could get away with rubbing the bow on the back string and then around the front and then back and front. And they'd think you were playing like hell for them, you know.
Do you think that any of these prompters had books or cards that they ever used?
No, they just picked it off. You know,
from listening to other people.
One to the other, yeah.
And when you were talking about the kitchen racket, did you have to pay to get in? Is that what you call it?
Used to be quarter dances.
So 25 cents to get into the house?
Yeah.
Now,
there'd be someone at the door, and you'd give them a quarter, you know, going in. But we used to have an awful lot just visiting, you know. But they used to have the quarter dance. That's what they called them. Quarter dance.
Were they at certain people's houses?
Yeah, some people put on more than others.
Yeah.
Let's say some people might have been a little bit hard up or something, they'd put on a quarter dance for them, you know.
I see.
Yeah, so at that time, you know, if you had
was this during the Depression?
Yeah, and even before Depression, when things were going pretty good, the odd one would have quarter dances, you know. You might have someone in a house sickly.
Right.
And you needed a little, you know.
So it's like a benefit dances today, but it was just
in
someone's house.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when did the dances really start picking up in halls? When was the hall?
God, I had them for as long as I can remember. We had three halls here one time.
In Inverness.
We had the old Labour Temple. And then we had the CMBA hall, and then we had the Orange Hall.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing to see one time, nothing to see three dances going.
And they'd all be packed.
Oh. Well, see, there was none of this, you know, no TV. The old Labour Temple Hall, oh my gosh. They used to have four what they call 4 or 5 picnics a year, all, you know, music. Then, of course, they used to have the ball, the fireman's ball and the orangeman's ball and the Knights of Columbus ball and the miners and people all dressed up and everything. At that time, you know, people, you'd get a pair of shoes a few weeks before, break them in for the dance. You'd be walking around like a hen on hot cinders, you know. Everybody wanted to have shoes, you know, small shoes on big feet, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted to have kind of neat look, but they'd be going around, oh God, you know, trying to break those shoes
right,
in, getting ready for the dance. And everybody'd be dressed. You know, at one time this town was known all over for how dressy people used to be. You wouldn't go to church on Sunday without a crease in your pants. And if you had a little neck in your pants, oh, you wouldn't go to church that day. You know, they'd be laughing.
Right.
But it is awful. They used to dress up and just walk back and forth on the street all evening. Not many cars on the go around. One time I used to go to dances out the country. I worked in the mine here, very young. And we used to sneak away sometimes. And we'd get up about 7 o'clock or 8. Two of us would leave and one fellow would stay on the job. You know. We'd be dancing in Brook Village in our time going on. But we used to, for $1, you'd put, like 4 fellas, you'd put 50 cents in on the jug of wine. The wine was $2. You put a quarter in on the gas and you put paid a quarter at the door to go in. And you had a ball.
I bet.
And almost everywhere you went, there'd be someone with a barrel of beer in the woods. You'd give him some wine, he'd give you some beer, you know. Oh, yeah. And
great times.
Go all night. See here, the dances used to go to 3 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And then there's one old fellow, we used to call him an old crank. He got mayor, and he stayed down the main street. So he got the dances stopped at 1 o'clock.
I see.
And then they brought it down to 12. So now it's 1 in most places.
Most places.
But they used to go to 3 o'clock in the morning, sometimes later.
What about for a wedding?
Oh,
what was that like?
A wedding was... A wedding like the difference today. For a wedding, you had all the booze and everything, all the grub and the purse. People that came just came with their little gifts or whatever
right.
It was. And I had an aunt that got married and her husband was overseas in the First World War, and he often told me himself that he came away from the altar with 50 cents in his pocket. That's all he had left over, you know?
From having spent on the wedding.
Yeah, and his wedding went for pretty near a week.
And dancing the whole time?
Dancing every night.
Every night.
And at that time, they used to get the old rum out here, you know, kegs of rum.
Uh-huh.
And they'd probably roll in a whole bunch and roll in 5 gallons of rum. Well, you were good for a couple of days or so. But nobody paid for it.
No.
This was the people that put on the wedding paid for that. Like today, you go to a wedding, of course, people couldn't afford to buy the booze.
It would be too expensive.
But you got to, you know, it costs a lot of money. Go to a wedding and buy a few drinks, people sitting at a table with you, you know, it runs into dough today.
For sure.
But of course, then on the other hand, the people, years ago, there was no such a thing as paying for anything like that.
Yeah.
All you could drink, you
right.
know. All kinds of booze, lots to eat, and everybody pitched in, you know, and helped out. And well, you went to a wedding them days, there was no such a thing as coming home on the same day, and that was out. You were there, you could be there for days, you know. Lots of booze, lots of grub, and, you know, like the fellow said, they didn't have a hell of a lot, but they got all those things.
And what about dancing? Did that play a big part?
Oh, Lord, they danced all night and all day and everything, in the afternoon, in the evening, clear out the...
For a week?
Oh, sometimes it'd go, yeah.
For a week?
Yeah, my this uncle I was telling you, well, uncle by marriage, his wedding went for days, and he only had 50 cents leaving the rail, but he had my father and 3 other brothers, and then there was 4 sisters, and everybody, you know, pitched in, like,
right.
And in fact, when they had their wedding, My father stayed on this side of the street, and one of his brothers and the other. They danced there tonight and over here tomorrow night. And, you know, there was, they used to have an awful time. They really celebrated. You know, weddings here at the time was, nobody got married on a Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Oh. It was Tuesday.
Tuesday.
And then you celebrated all week. Like.
Huh.
Yeah,
so Tuesday. When did they stop doing that?
Well, that's a while ago. I used to say that people tightened up or something. Or maybe new people coming into the country.
Right.
And they'd get married on Saturday or something. I used to say they wanted to get married on Saturday and then they'd have Sunday and go back to work Monday. Like, you know. But one time it was Tuesday was the day to get married. It was always Tuesday.
Always on Tuesday. Yeah. And would it have been summer or winter or any time
of the year? Oh, yeah, any time of the
year.
Any time,
because now it's summer a lot,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, they got married any time, you know. Of course, you take the Catholics, they never married in Lent or Advent.
No, right.
You know, but it didn't make a hell of a lot of difference what time of the year it was. You know.
For the non-Catholics, if they didn't have this Lent business or Advent.
They could get married any time. Like, like today, well, the Catholics are the same way. They get married in Lent and Advent and everything. It don't.
Right. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. No, but at that time, it'd have to be something serious for you to get
married during those times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, there's a big difference today. Things are really turning around. You know.
So and do you know anything called the wedding reel?
Wedding reel, yeah.
Uh-huh. What is that? Yeah.
Well, that's the only thing I would know about that. No, don't.
You're not sure.
This, no, I'm not sure of this. But I remember hearing them talking about this granduncle of mine playing. They had a violin player picked out to play what they call the wedding reel. Now, the wedding reel is played for the bride and groom and the bridesmaid, and at that time
best
it used to be the best man, the bridesmaid, and then probably her father and mother and his father and mother, and that had the wedding reel for them, like they were first on the floor.
Was
no, I could be wrong on that.
No, other people have told
us
this.
I could
be
wrong.
But then the dance they would do, it would be like a set. It wasn't a special dance.
No, it was
but
a,
they'd just
like
play
a,
the wedding
just like
reel.
A set.
Just like a set.
But it's for the weddings. People.
Right, the party,
yeah,
the wedding party.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it a whole set or was it just like one figure?
Oh, well, it would be a whole set.
A whole set of three or four figures.
Yeah, but this was
the
party. First. Yeah, the wedding party was in it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what about now, jigging? Have you heard people jigging tunes?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Are there any of those people still around?
Oh,
the
God,
this
fella here, one time he was great. A fella by the name Dan Hector McPhee. No, I don't think you get too much of that today. Dan Hector was great. He, you know, he could entertain people. Just sit there and jig tunes. You didn't need no violin or nothing. Like, you could get a charge out of him, you know.
Yeah.
Although he did play the violin too, but he was great at jigging. Yeah, a lot of the old timers were good at that. You know, they tell me that down north there was more of that.
Like up
among
Cape,
the French.
Oh, the French, that's right. I wonder why that was.
There was a
that
lot
was.
Of that.
Yeah, women too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard a woman, probably a couple of years ago. She was, I believe, from the island. Holy God. Then I heard another one from Quebec. My God, she was good too.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. Uh-huh. She was something else, you know. And there was music going along with her, you know.
Yeah.
But she was real, real, real good, yeah. And but there used to be a lot of that. See, when you had no musician, well, those people could jig for them to dance.
Right.
Yeah.
And what about, we've been trying to find people that might know of some dances that had songs.
Yeah.
So that, say, there'd be a song and a dance, and whenever you'd sing that song, you'd do the same dance to it with special movements.
Yeah.
Have you heard about that ever?
No.
Your parents are
But years know? Ago, like I say, it'd be something like that, you know. People danced when you didn't have
the music.
Well, there was... the old Gaelic sang songs too. People speaking Gaelic. They sang songs and there was a, you know, the music was to them and
the right beat.
It's something like going to a mill and frolic, eh? They got to have a beat for. I saw that in Shetty Camp yesterday.
Too. Did you?
The French.
Mm. Yeah.
They were driving her.
Yeah.
Same, the only difference was they were singing French and the fellas up here singing Gaelic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that group from
it was
the
good.
Madeleine?
Yeah.
Good, eh?
I liked that young fella playing too.
He's good, eh?
Boy, he was lively.
Yeah.